Turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 11.
I do ask that you would bear with me this morning. I am battling a cold and will do my best this morning by way of voice. As you're turning there to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I want to read a poem of sorts, I guess you would call it. This was written by Hazel Fellman. It said, think of, or imagine, stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Of taking hold of a hand and finding it God's hand. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial air. Of feeling invigorated and finding it immortality. Of passing from storm to tempest to an unknown calm. Imagine waking up and finding it home. When I was a boy, and probably those who know me know that I have my sort of idiosyncrasies, those things that are peculiar to me as a person. But when I was a kid, after we'd have a busy stretch of time in our family where we would be pulled away from home and in different places, it was not uncommon for me to look to my mom, for me to look to my parents and say, can we have a home day? I just wanted time at home. And I think that we recognize that as people. I see my children that recognize that. If that we have times of busyness where they are away from the things that are comforting to them in home, it disrupts them and it changes their behavior because they are away from home. We all understand what it is to have a drawing towards home. In fact, if you were to go through and just look at the country songs that have been written over the last 20 years, I would reckon that a bunch of them deal with home. We understand its importance and we sing of it with a fond recollection of what it is to go home, of what it is to be home. And what's interesting about the word home is that it is in reference to where you count your dwelling place, not the dwelling place itself. Your home is altogether different from my home, and you might, by reason of looking at the particulars of your house, say, well, my home is better than your home, but I would contend with you that it is not, because it's not my home. It's your house and not my home. Wherever it is that you call home this morning, you have a special drawing to that place. Brother Kevin, a couple of weeks ago, went back to his home place in Missouri. There's a special connection to those things. My wife talks about going back down home and where she's from in Tennessee. My grandmother, who has lived in Indiana for over 50 years, still refers to where she was brought up in Red Bull and Springs, Tennessee, as home. We all understand what it is to have home, right? And as a result of that, we also understand the tragedy of being homeless. We understand the great difficulty that is found when there are those that are without a home. We understand the great tragedy that it is of an orphan that is without a home, without a place to go to in which to dwell and feel the warmth and the loves and the kind affection, as we talked about in Sunday school, of home. Home has a special place to each and every one of us. How we know it and how we understand it varies, but there is a common place and a desire and a longing for home. It should not surprise us then that Scriptures deals a lot with home. It is not quiet on the subject of home. It's not quiet on that subject as it relates specifically to how it is that you are abiding in your home, how it is that as husbands and as men that we are leading our homes, as mothers and as women, how it is that you are making your home, and as children, how you are brought up at home. So it pays special attention to those things, but it pays even greater attention to a different home. To a home that awaits each of us as believers, to a home that has been promised to us that have come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin and being saved by God's grace, we are all promised a home. Isn't that wonderful? We have a home. There is a home that is far exceeding any dwelling place here on earth that awaits me. There is a home that has been promised to me as a place wherein I will dwell with my brothers and with my sisters and with my heavenly Father forever. It is a place that is so enormous that Jesus tells us that in his Father's house are many mansions. We know that there is a place in which we even today long that far surpasses even the greatest ideas that we have for a home. You can read books about good or magazines about good housekeeping, and you can keep up on Pinterest with the greatest ideas of how to decorate your home. But my friend, God has prepared for us a dwelling place that far exceeds every idea of glory that we have for our houses and abodes here. That in that place, the very glory and nature of His home is His Son and our Redeemer. And there is a light there, and there is a glory there, and there is a presence there that far exceeds what it is to long for a home place here. Why? Because the home place that we look to, there is no corruption there. It will not decay. It will not be corrupted, but it is glory and perfection for eternity. Can you imagine that home? I'm talking about a home that awaits us. We sang about it a little bit this morning, didn't we? About a heaven that awaits us, about what it is to look forward to home. It's interesting how Scripture deals with this home. And the reason why is that, especially as having been a younger man, a younger person so far throughout all of my life, but in looking at that, what's always been interesting to me and really confounding, especially as a young person, is that it's always the older people that look forward to home. And it's not uncommon even within Scripture. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we find in the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes where we find instruction to the youth. That great verse, Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter 12, verse 1, where Solomon writes, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." That instruction that he is giving, he goes on in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and the instruction that he's giving is through the lens or through the view or through the perspective of an old man. And he goes and he talks about how as the days grow older, as people grow older, there are things that become more difficult and desire fails. And he goes and he talks about all these things that change about a person as they grow older. And he says they look for their long home. I love how he words that. For a long home. You see, my home here, it's short. I have a short home. It's here for a few years, and then it will decay. But there's a long home that I'm headed towards that far exceeds any nature of a house here. We saw this week as that storm came on shore down in Florida, and we saw of just the drastic damage that was done to these homes. No doubt men and women had saved up and had just poured all their lives into these homes. And in a moment, they were taken away. Could you imagine? I think about that at my home and what we put into that and just the effort that goes into keeping up a home. And it's devastating to think of all that being taken away. And we look and we mourn with them and we say, well, we're thankful for the Lord keeping us. But I want you to know that what keeps that from happening to us is just that it hasn't happened here. It's liable to happen to any and every one of us. But we know that the home that awaits us is one where no storm will ever enter, where there will never be some destruction that would come to disrupt us, but instead that there is a perfect calmness that is there. That excites me. The thing that I long for most in my home is peace. It's not how big my home is. It's not what property my home sits on, but it's peace. And I suppose that is what excites me the most about my long home, is that there's peace there. No drama in heaven. Oh, but peace for all eternity. That's home. That's home. Isn't that why when you start to grow older and you want to return home, it's because you know there's peace there? When life causes you difficulty, you long to go back to where you found that there was peace and there was a carefree attitude that was amongst you and people that were there to love you and to support you and to help you. I never understood it much when I was growing up. You see different attitudes between boys and girls, but as I was growing up, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time at home. You know, basically, as soon as I woke up until I had to come back home, I was gone. I was somewhere with my friends, I was fishing somewhere, I was doing something, and I wasn't home. But there was something I noticed about my sisters, that she was probably busier than I was in reality, but she always had a desire to always come home. And she would spend time talking to my mom and just reflecting upon all these things that she was going through and all these things that was just on her plate. And the reason why is that there was a peace at home. Right? All these things around us might be going on that require our attention and desire to overthrow our peace. But when you get home and you close the door and you're with family, there's peace. Isn't it good to have a promise of a heavenly home? Oh, and I know there's homes where there's no peace this morning. I've been a part of homes with no peace. My heart breaks for you. Oh, but I want you to know there's a peace that you can have still. There's a peace that you can still know. And there's a peace of a long home that can still be offered to you. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's a peace that is lasting and not just for moments between the next storm. So I want to talk to you about this home. Unless you think that I'm talking about a place that is just made up, and unless you think that I'm just speaking about things that are flowery, that I might stir for you for a moment of happier things, I want you to know that I speak of heaven as home because that's how the Bible talks about it. In fact, Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples right before he would be crucified, he told them that they were not of this world. He told them that they had no home here. That they were of a world, of a realm that was beyond this place. And in fact, just a couple of chapters after that, he had taught his disciples that instruction in the 15th chapter of the book of John. And just a couple of chapters later, in the 17th chapter of the book of John, Jesus is praying for us. He's praying for his disciples. And as he's praying for his disciples, he tells God the Father this. This is Jesus praying on behalf of his disciples to God the Father. And he prays and he says, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world." You know what's wonderful about our home? Is we have kindred there. We have family there already. And I'm not just talking about the ones that you have loved that have died and gone on to be with the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord. I have family there. I have a brother there. His name's Jesus. I have a father there. His name's Jehovah. And they wait for me. Oh, I long to be home. There's a home. Paul, he told the Philippian church, he told them this. He said that your conversation, and that means your citizenship, is not here, but your citizenship is in heaven. We have a citizenship that has been changed. I'm an immigrant in a home that awaits me. And you know what? I didn't have to pass a single test. I didn't have to wait for a judge to make any ruling. Oh, all I needed was King Jesus to say, "This is mine." Oh, yes, I have a home. I have a home. If you've been saved by God's grace, you have this same home. And my friend, if you are lost today, I want you to know there is no greater home that you can belong to. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's get to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read just a few short verses here. Let's begin reading Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 13. Sister Leslie referred to this earlier. This great 11th chapter book of Hebrews is this faith chapter. And the writer has gone and he has talked about how Abraham had followed the Lord by faith, and Noah, and he's going to go forward and talk about all these saints of old that had a faith that had kept them. And in verse 13 he says this, he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded or assured of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." But listen to verse 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Everywhere that I read the word country or I read the word city, I believe you are right to replace it with the word home. They search for a home, and God has prepared for them one. He has prepared them a home. So let's look at these verses just a little bit here this morning. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." Did you hear that? God had made a promise to Abraham of a promised land where He would lead His people. God had promised Abraham that his seed would be innumerable, that he would have a nation of people that would trace their lineage back to them. But Abraham died before seeing any of that. Now you might say, "Well, Derek, why would Abraham hold to a promise that he would never experience?" The Hebrew writer tells us that he was persuaded, he was assured of them, assured of the promise to such a degree that he embraced it. Have you embraced heaven? Have you embraced it? You know, if our citizenship is in heaven, then what naturally becomes of us is that we act like citizens of heaven. There was a co-worker of mine just a couple of weeks ago who went to Spain. Brother Jeff this week went to Germany. And I don't know, I haven't traveled out of the country very much, but I'm guessing that when Brother Jeff is in Germany, you can look at Brother Jeff and tell he's not German. And when my co-worker was in Spain this week, he made very clear to me that when he was in Spain, it was evident that he was not Spanish, that he was instead an American. Why? Because you naturally are acting like where you're from. I work on the north side of Indianapolis. It's not too far away from the south side of Indianapolis. But all those people up there will tell you I'm from somewhere else because I don't act like them. We act like citizens of our homes, don't we? We do. And your home is probably a little bit different than my home. And you'd probably judge my home and I'd probably judge yours. Oh, but I want you to know there's a common place that we act like from where we are from. We act according to our home place. And we are to be then embracing heaven and acting as our citizenship there would have us to act. That's what Abraham and these fathers of faith have showed us. They had embraced them. And in embracing them, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims down here. That they were just sojourners here. They were only here because they were looking for a promised place. They were only here because they were serving the one who had promised them a place. They were looking for a country. We read just before this, here in verse 10, speaking of Abraham, said, "For Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Aren't we looking for the same thing? And in fact, Paul told the Colossians this in chapter 3, verse 1. He was speaking of having been resurrected with Jesus. And he said, having been resurrected with Jesus, then we also know that we have a place beside Him where He sits in heaven. That if we have shared in this common faith, if we have shared in the common resurrection of Jesus for the believers that have been brought out of death, in
unto life, then what we have is an assured home, an assured place in heaven. And according to that, then, we embrace it. And we confess that there is no home here. There is no home here. But instead, our home is a place to come. Listen to verse 14. He says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." You know, when we oftentimes will speak about us being called in Scripture a peculiar people, that is how God has referenced us, that we are a set apart people, a people who are altogether different, a people who are altogether separate from the rest of the world, a people that have been set apart and sanctified by an almighty God. And according to that, then, if we have had that upon us, and we have confessed as such, then we speak plainly that we are seeking a different home. My friends, when we speak of heaven, when we sing of heaven, when we testify that there is a place that awaits us, we are declaring that we have no place in this country, that we have no place in this world. Why? Because we have been promised a place that awaits us. Verse 15 says, "Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return." Now, I want to help to understand this verse a little bit. What the Hebrew writer is saying is that these that had been called out of this homeland, had been called out as Abraham was out of Ur, to get out away from his country, as we find in Genesis chapter 12, as he had been called out to go into this promised land, if he had had a mind to be, missing and a mind to desire to return back to that home place, he'd have found occasion to do it. Isn't that the case? If you find occasion to do something, you're going to do it. And he said that if these that had been called out of a place had desired to return to it, they would have. My friends, seeing that we have been called out of this place, we have been given a home that awaits us, let us have no desire to turn back to this world. Let us have no desire to turn back to the worldliness that abounds right about us. Let us have no desire to return unto the filth and the condemnation that this world offers. This world will promise you beautiful things. This world will promise you golden things. This world will promise you riches. But I want you to know that this world will lie to you. What is promised for us is assured. And it's assured because it has been created by an almighty God. It is a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. You know what's amazing about that? Such a city cannot be torn down. Such a city cannot be overthrown. Such a home cannot be invaded. It doesn't even need an alarm system. Oh, but it's secured. And it's secured because it has been made and founded and established by an almighty God. You want to think about looking back? I ask you only to consider Lot's wife. It's the very same thing that we found when these angels were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah, that they might come, they might deliver Lot and his family out of this sin and the awful iniquity that was found in those cities. And they came and they were leading Lot and his wife and his family out of the destruction that was coming upon Sodom. And as they were doing so, Lot's wife remembered all that she had back in that city, and she looked back. And the moment that she did, Scripture tells us she was changed into a pillar of salt in an instant. My friends, we have nothing to look back to. Oh, but we have everything that awaits us. We have a home prepared for us. We have a home in heaven, a home in paradise. Listen to verse 16. It says, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." We have a better home to look to. We have a better home to prepare for. We have a better home that awaits us. And while that does not remove from us our responsibility to our home places here, while it does not remove from us those things that are called upon us here, what it does give us is a hope that while we toil and while we labor, that all that toiling and all that labor is not labor in vain, but instead it is labor that is being counted unto us, that there is a place where labor will cease, that there is a place where all that striving will end. I have right now underneath my back door a piece of wood that has just about rotted out, and I've been trying to figure out how in the world I'm going to replace this without my whole sliding door coming down. It's in the back of my mind at all the times. Maybe I'll fix it, maybe I won't. But you know what? The measure in my home isn't a piece of board underneath the door. Oh, but it's where my home is that awaits me. You see that? For there is a country and a home that I desire, that it far exceeds the reaches of 79 Hilltop Farms Boulevard. It far exceeds my neighbors, even though some of my neighbors are here. It far exceeds my community. I grew up in this place. I have memories right here across this railroad track that were just joyful boyhood memories. Oh, but my friends, what they're accounted unto compared to heaven is nothing. I call you today to be heavenly minded. I call you today to be mindful of your citizenship and all the duties and responsibilities of it. We're in a political climate that just won't stop, and you're reminded all the time of your civic responsibility to vote and to be mindful of the government and its inner workings and all of these things. Oh, pay it no mind. Oh, but instead be heavenly minded of your citizenship that belongs to a far exceeding greater home, one that is laid up for us. It has been prepared for us by the very one whose government is upon his shoulder. Wouldn't it be good to be in a home where there's no political ads anymore? Where there's joy and peace and all ideas are made unto the Father. Why? Because he is the creator and maker of that place. I want to say just a few things more. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, it says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers, or shall the rooms, be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. As we talk about having a home, and as I have done so many times as a younger person, as a young man, I've looked and somebody's preached about heaven and they got done preaching, and I always thought, well, Derek, or preacher, that's all well and good to know that there's this wonderful, marvelous, beautiful place that awaits us called heaven. But what do I do with it down here? What do I do with it while I'm here? It's great to know what awaits me, but what do I do with it here? The proverb writer teaches us about our physical homes, about how a home is builded by wisdom, how it is established by understanding, and how the rooms are filled with riches and with pleasant things according to knowledge. My friend, it is important to recall your mind unto your citizenship this morning, not just that you leave here feeling good. Oh, my friend, instead, that you recognize that if we have this home that is awaiting us, this home that is laid up for us, that it changes us here. It changes how it is that we approach life here. It changes how we have positioned ourselves and what we fill our minds with here. That it changes us and how we think about the world around us. That it's not that we might one up somebody else, but instead how we might understand how we can tell others about a home and how we can point others to a home, how we can teach others that how they can approach this home and how this home has been laid up for them too if they would but repent and trust the gospel. My friends, our mindfulness of heaven this morning is that we would see that our very houses are established and builded and filled according to this wisdom, according to this understanding. and according to this knowledge. I recognize that as a young person, to sing songs of heaven seems oftentimes is just meant for older people. Oh, but if you've been saved by God's grace, no matter your age, you have a home to look forward to. You won't understand this, young person, until you get a little bit older. But when you get older and you call about a bill, you call about something that is reliant upon your information, they'll normally ask for a couple of things. One of the things they ask for sometimes is your address. They want to verify it's you, and they say, can you confirm your address for me? Another thing they ask for sometimes when you call is your date of birth. My son was sick, had to get him a prescription, went to CVS, and they said, what's his date of birth? I gave him my wife's date of birth. It was wrong. I tried again, and I got it right. But we confirmed these things. I want you to know that there's a confirmation that is needed for this home. There's a date of birth that must be established. I have a birthday coming up here in a few weeks. I'll be turning 32 years old. I was born on November 21st, 1986. It's not that birth that promises me my home. I remember bringing my children home from the hospital for the first time. It was exciting to show this little girl who couldn't tell anything, she's 2 days old, to show her home, to show her room that we had prepared for her. I was excited to do that. On November 23rd, 1995, I had a different birth date. God showed me a home. That date of birth wasn't one where I was born naturally. Oh, but I want you to know that I was born spiritually. And that spiritual birth, it passed me from death unto life. It passed me from this earthly realm into a heavenly one. And yes, I still have an address here that I have to confirm on the phone every now and then. Oh, but I have an address that has been sealed by an almighty God. And He was so sincere in giving me that address of heaven that He gave me His Spirit. That while I wait for the fulfillment of that promise in heaven to come, that His Spirit is here with me. And it teaches me, and it directs me, and it instructs me, and it comforts me. Because sometimes I get homesick. And sometimes I just want to go home. And that comforter comes and says, just a little while. Just a little while. Keep going. Just a little while. Embrace it. Just a little while. Confess it. Just a little while longer. And we'll be home. On the back of my grandfather's headstone, it says, my address is heaven. Don't you want to go? Lost friend, I want you to know today that there is a home place that awaits you this morning. And while I speak sweetly about my home, the home that awaits you in your lost condition, there's nothing sweet about it. Because if there is a home that has been created for the believers, if there is a home that's been created for the saved, then it follows that there's a home that's been created for the unsaved as well. And it's a terrible and it's an awful place called hell. And if you are lost today and you die, I want you to know that at once when you open your eyes in death, hell will be your home for all eternity. Oh, but praise be unto Jesus. He has provided us a place and provided us an escape unto a far better place. A place where every tear will be gone. Where peace and gladness and joy will forevermore be. If you're lost today, I call unto you to repent. be born again today. Oh, when you too can have a place in this home. Oh, I want to see you there. In this home place. Brother Daniel, let's get a song. If you are here today and you are lost, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. You can be saved today. You can be promised this home today, not because of something that I tell you, not because of some words that you would say, that you would merely stand up and say, "Well, I accept Christ." You can be saved today not because you would be baptized. Oh, but you can be saved today because, as Sister Leslie pointed out earlier, you can be saved today because you come to have an experience with God. You come to Him in full repentance and in full faith. And you find peace. And you find the promise of a home. Today you can be saved. If you call upon the Lord, repent of your sins, place your faith in Him. He'll not fail you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Oh, but my friend, this morning, if you come to Him in faith believing, He will save you. He will give you a home. Let's stand and let's sing this morning.